Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Aki's here, Bree's here, and we've got Andy Sperry joining us this episode. How is everybody doing?
Pretty good. And yourself?
Doing okay. Jacob's not here yet.
That's why you're doing so good, obviously.
Andy, welcome to the Thursday lineup. How are you?
I'm good. This is a totally different vibe.
Fall into the abyss of my gaping butthole. Indeed.
Yeah, we're professional or some bullshit.
No.
Some of us are professional.
Yeah.
I'm totally professional.
No.
I've listened to the Thursday show before multiple times. I know you guys aren't professional either.
I am the most professional. I don't know what y'all are talking about.
The one who says the most profane things cannot be the most professional one as well.
Hey, just because
there's
I'm
a Venn diagram, those don't overlap at all.
They totally overlap. They totally
it depends
overlap.
On your definition of profane.
Oh, welcome in everyone from Flozax's stream. Randall, thank you for the raid. Aston, welcome in. How are you today? Howdy to you as well. Welcome in. If you're a professional comedian, you might be profane and vulgar.
Yeah.
Well, we're not professional comedians. But we are profane and vulgar.
I mean, yeah. Jacob's a professional comedian. His whole life's been a joke this far.
So. Got him.
Oh, Ryan Niemiller is a professional comedian, and I'm going to see him this weekend.
Nice.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, great. If anyone is near Hanover, PA this weekend, he's doing a show Sunday. In Pottstown on Saturday, he's doing two shows. So if you're local to any of those areas, give him a look. Cripplethreat.com. I think it's cripplethreat.com.
Yep.
And check him out. He's funny.
I'm not allowed to be a professional comedian. I'm a clown school dropout, though.
Oh, why'd you drop out?
Why did I drop out? Well, I didn't intend to drop out. I just missed my final exam because of other life things. And I was told I could come back because I was the class clown and they really wanted me to graduate. The more I thought about it, I thought the best clown joke I could ever write was to go through the rest of my life as a clown school dropout, so I never went back.
That is fair.
That's pretty solid.
Yeah.
What does the school think of that?
who cares?
Do they know your reasons?
They still want you back?
Nah, it's been a long time. But, you know, I keep to the bit. I keep to the bit. Every once in a while, I sneak on the clown nose and take pictures, take little nose selfies.
Fantastic.
But, yeah.
Do you mail them a copy? You're like, you could have had this. Because if you don't, you're
missing
should.
Me.
Yeah. Remember this nose?
Yeah. Someday I'll get. Yeah. See, there you go. Someday I'll get an honorary degree just for that commitment.
Heck yeah.
Be amazing. So, Andy, nice. What's going on in your life?
We're actually moving right now.
Ooh.
I don't know if I told you that too. Just not too far, just down the street. We had the fire next door in the duplex, and so we're kind of being forced out. But we got a place, so that's good. Trying to pack everything up. Playing video games and packing. That's pretty much it.
Those are good days.
Those are good days. It's summer now, so I've been getting on the mountain bike and riding around the neighborhood a little bit too, getting a little exercise.
I actually kind of like packing up for a move. It's the unpacking that I hate.
Oof! Come over.
I'm the exact opposite. I like the unpacking bit.
I like the unpacking as well. I like the moving part though. I like physically lifting heavy things and moving them.
Oh, I hate that.
I don't want to pack the boxes though.
That's pretty much all I'm good for at this point. I'm like, oh, you need that heavy box lifted? Oh,
And I have it. A pickup truck. I'm your gal. Like, let's go. Let's move you.
There's there you an go. Old Planet Fitness commercial where the guy would just say things like, I lift things up and I put them down.
Yeah, I remember that commercial. That's what I'm thinking.
Oh, yeah.
I lift things up and I put them down.
I also know where to store the bodies. So, got a shovel in the back. Some ratchet straps. We're good to go. Just let me know.
Full package over here.
Yeah.
Oh, that'll make for fun weekend.
Heck yeah. Sounds great. Yeah, come on out.
I know where to bury the bodies.
Beautiful and smart, folks. Jeez.
Oh, man. Well, I think we've been delaying as much as we can with Jacob. I think we're going to have to just go into the news and hope he shows that up works. Sometime.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to. I mean, it's fine.
I'll cover his reviews. Best I can.
They shouldn't be too hard this week. But yeah, we got a lot of news to talk about. I don't have too much myself, but there was a Nintendo Direct, and Bree, I know you took notes on it.
So I'm going
to pass the mic on over to you, give you the baton, let you lead things off. Why don't you start us off with some news?
All right. So the Nintendo Direct was the other day at 10 o'clock in the morning, and that was really early for me. They had a really nice show. Very, very Nintendo, very direct. They started off with Mario and Luigi Brothership. It's their first new type of Mario game in 9 years. Looks like a mix of platforming and puzzle solving, maybe some RPG adventure mixed in. And it comes out November 7th of this year.
I've always loved the Mario and Luigi games. So yeah. I'm happy to see a new one.
Yeah, those are always great.
It was a different animation style. It looked bright and fun. So, yeah.
Well, a Nintendo game, bright and fun.
I know. And one of the other things you'll notice, and I have a note here at the end that Joe will probably like about this section of the news, is that this showcase had a lot of very definitive dates on things, and everything had some kind of date, even if it was just next year or early next year.
Yay!
Yeah, there are lots of that. There is some bad news in some of this, which we'll get to here shortly. Next up, they showed the Nintendo World Championships NES Edition with speedrun challenges across 13 games, legend challenges, and more. Looks like they're trying to tap in and monetize on some of the community-led races and mods. Looks pretty fun.
I've had my eye on that one. I've been trying to steer away from collector's editions lately, and I think I could hold off on this one. Like, it looks cool, but I don't need it. But the game seems pretty awesome.
We'll see how long that fucking lasts.
Well, it's coming out July 18th, so pretty soon.
Cool.
Next up was Fairy Tail 2, an action RPG based on the anime. It's coming out this winter, everywhere but Xbox.
Motherfuckers.
Dang.
I would have played that, too. Damn. Oh, well.
I have a feeling that's going to set a theme for...
There you go. There you go. That's the bad news. Next up was a trailer for Fantasian Neo Dimension from Final Fantasy creator and composer Nobuo Uematsu. I realize there's been other composers more recently, so to mention that it's him. But it's a new turn-based RPG with some cool gimmicks and combat.
Creator Hironobu Sakaguchi, I believe.
Well, yes, and I was just saying, well, the composer was what I was saying was different. It was Nobuo Uematsu. Sorry, I realize not the same composer nowadays in Final Fantasy. That's what I was trying to say.
He was the OG composer, the one
OG,
everyone remembers.
OG composer, yes, exactly.
One that has tribute albums in his name.
Exactly, he's awesome. He's done more stuff outside of Final Fantasy now too, which is great. So, so it's a turn-based RPG with some cool gimmicks, like you can curve your skills to send and get more enemies in a row. You can send enemies to another dimension. It was previously an Apple exclusive, I guess. Apple Arcade. Okay, yeah. But it's coming out holiday. Oh, yeah, I know. Holiday this year on consoles and PC.
Yay.
All right. Next up was Nintendo Sports update. They're getting a free basketball update available this summer. I don't know That's exactly cool. when, but this summer. This is now-ish. It's officially summer, isn't it? Tomorrow? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I guess in August sometime. July or August.
Yeah. All right. Next up was Mio Memories in Orbit, a new Metroidvania that they showed off a trailer for. Looked pretty jazzy. And it's slated to come out in 2025 for consoles and PC.
Nice.
Disney Illusion Island is getting a free update out now.
Nice. What's the update?
I have no idea.
No, let me look. Disney Illusion Island update.
I didn't know enough about Disney Illusion Island to understand anything from the trailer.
Oh, no, I clicked on an MSN article. That never tells you anything.
Oh, no.
I'm just reading. It mentions Easter eggs. It doesn't say what was actually added. Oh, my God. MSN is like the most useless news. What? Do you try using?
No, I just, I know how fucking useless it is. It hasn't been useful, God, ever. I don't think.
Curious clues are popping up across Monoth, and Dash Dolphin needs the help of Mickey and friends to find them. So it looks like it's a new mystery in the game. That's pretty cool.
Nice.
So that's awesome. Free update.
Oh, it's out now.
Sweet.
Next up was Hello Kitty Island Adventure, an open world adventure.
Where's Jacob?
Where you can restore friendship. It's a timed exclusive for next year. Everywhere but Xbox.
Sounds about right.
Poor Jacob.
It looks like Animal Crossing Hello Kitty.
Nice.
So, really cute. Really good if you like Hello Kitty, but nope, we're not getting it here. All right, next up was Looney Tunes Wacky World of Sports. 4-player local co-op. See, it's coming out in fall.
Any platforms?
Consoles and PC. I didn't like the look of the animation.
We have a chance.
We have a chance. It says all consoles and PC.
Oh, cool. That one's... I like Looney Tunes, so I have a soft spot for Looney Tunes.
Yeah,
games.
The animation style was a little weird. I don't know how to describe it, but it was a little off-putting. Not gonna lie. Hmm. Among Us was next. They're also getting a free update across all platforms with new added roles, map, and more. Looked pretty interesting. If you're still playing Among Us, there's some new content for you.
Jazzy.
Next up was Farmagia. You can raise monsters, farm them. Yes, I said farm the animals or the monsters. Train them for battle against the evil Magus. It comes out November 1st. Everywhere but Xbox.
Man. Of course, that one sounded good too. Some bitch.
Next up was a trailer for Donkey Kong Country Returns from the Wii. Is now coming out in HD.
Heard of this one. It's being handled by Forever Entertainment, which caught my interest. It's cool to see them working on such a big property. But I wonder how the final product is going to be, because their remasters have been good, but they've had some issues keeping them from perfection. So I'm worried how this is going to hold up. Hopefully Nintendo, their iron fist, make sure that the game comes out well.
Yeah. Well, it also includes cool levels from the 3DS version, which I thought was pretty cool. So it's a combined effort there on both the Wii and the 3DS versions. And nice. It comes out January 16th of next year.
Very cool.
Next up was a big segment. Dragon Quest III HD 2D Remake is coming November 14th of this year. And the complete Erdrick Trilogy, it's coming 1 and 2 HD 2D remakes are coming next year early. The creator came on to speak about it and said that he chose to put 3 out first because it's chronologically in the series story, the first one. And so he thought it would be fun for players to play the trilogy in that order. So that's why they're being released that way. And it will be on consoles and PC. It's already up for pre-order on Xbox, I know. So
nice.
Celebrate!
Oh, I liked that.
That was good.
All right, next up is Funko Fusion, an action-adventure mashup game with Funko characters set in movies and shows. It looks like a wild, like, FPS-ish kind of thing, or maybe it was third person. It was very weird what was going on. But it comes out September 13th on consoles. Probably also PC, but it didn't tell me much else, whether there was multiplayer involved or if it was just a solo thing, but there's like 60 or so Funko characters to play with.
Ooh.
And yeah.
Curious to see what all properties they got together in this thing.
Yeah.
Like, there, you know, they've like, got to have some surprise ones hidden in there.
There was Jaws. There was some... Geez, what else do they have? I think they had some Marvel mixed in, maybe. There was just like a little bit of everything. Said
Chucky's in there.
Is Chucky in there? That would be cool. But yeah. Next up was Luigi's Mansion 2 HD coming June 27th.
I saw
those Luigi Mansion games look so cool.
I saw an overview trailer for it on YouTube today. It was like a 4-minute long overview trailer of a narrator talking about what Luigi's going through. Our friend David Ottavino did the fucking voiceover.
Oh, nice.
Worked That's with Nintendo rad. On that. That is so fucking That's cool. Awesome. I'm so happy for awesome. Him.
Yeah.
Yeah, that blew my mind when I saw it. That was awesome.
Next up was New Denpa Men. And I don't know what was going on there, but it looked like the Mii characters in weird costumes. But it's a free-to-play, timed exclusive that comes out July 22nd.
Denpa Men is one of the very first games I reviewed for the Gaming Vault back before SML was a thing. We're talking early days of the show here when it was still part of the Gaming Vault and then save continue. But yeah, Denpa Men originally on, I think, DS was one of the first games that I really did a review on. So it's cool to see that back.
Awesome. Yeah, I had never heard of it, so I wasn't entirely sure what was going on with that. Let's see, next up was Metal Slug Attack Reloaded Tower Defense with Online Battles is available now on consoles and PC.
That looks interesting. I'm wondering how they translated that to tower defense.
With online battles like that, that's pretty cool. I don't know if there's cross-platform with it or not, but it looked interesting, yeah. Next was the announcement that Darkest Dungeon 2 will now be available on Switch as of July 15th.
Cool.
And then they talked about the expansion pack membership. There's going to be more classic titles added, including Zelda Four Swords, and it will have its multiplayer. Turok, Metroid Zero Mission, and Perfect Dark, also with online multi available. And that is available as of the other day. So,
very cool.
Available now.
Yeah, I saw Turok and Perfect Dark have to be in a special M-rated version of the Nintendo Switch Online download thing.
Gotcha.
So they have a new application just for two games.
Yeah.
Hopefully it expands.
Next up was Phantom Brave, The Lost Hero, cutesy tactical turn-based battle. It's the new addition to the series, is coming 2025. Everything but Xbox.
Yeah. Yep. That's a NIS game. I knew that wouldn't come.
But wait, there's more.
No.
Next, they showed us Marvel vs. Capcom Fighting Collection.
I am so fucking pissed about this one. Oh, like the internet is pissed about this one.
The internet is pissed about that one. It was trending on my feed.
The Xbox side of the internet is pissed about this one.
It was trending on Twitter. Yeah, it is Arcade Classics is a great collection. But everywhere but Xbox.
8 games, including Marvel vs. Capcom 2 with rollback netcode and The Punisher.
Yes. Like,
I want The Punisher so bad, and we can't have it. This is the third game, or no, the fourth game from Capcom that has skipped Xbox. From what I'm hearing, is supposedly some MT framework that the engine that the game runs on, because it happened with Mega Man Battle Network Collection, it happened with one of the Phoenix Wright compilations, it happened with Monster Hunter Stories that just released, and now it's happening with this, and it's bullshit. Like, Xbox needs to reach out and find a way to make this. Like, this is Marvel versus Capcom 2. This isn't fucking Battle Network that we could live without. This is Marvel versus Capcom 2. They really need to make this happen.
Yeah. Well, next up, they talked about Super Mario Party Jamboree. It has a mode with up to 20 players that you can play online.
20 players?
There's a whole bunch of new modes, new games, and it comes out October 17th.
Nice.
That seemed pretty cool.
Yeah. Next up was, I thought this was particularly interesting, the Legend of Zelda Echoes of Wisdom. Link has vanished, and the princess has to be the hero. It's actually Zelda's time to be the hero of her own game.
Fucking took long enough.
So she has a staff, and she gets to create echoes of things like tables and beds and stuff like that. And it has puzzle elements, and she has to go around and save the world. And it comes out September 26th.
Damn.
There will really also be, yes, there will also be that day available a special Hyrule Gold Edition Switch Lite.
Yeah, that looks really pretty.
Yeah.
If it was a Switch OLED, I'd be ready to pre-order that, but I don't need a Switch Lite.
Yeah, I just got rid of my Switch Lite like recently, and it's pretty, but I don't need it.
if you have kids, buy one, hide it in a closet for 20 years, and sell it to put them through college.
Yeah, right?
Trust me on this one. This thing's going to be valuable in a few years.
It probably will be.
Like, the Zelda 3DS is worth hundreds now, and I sold mine when they were just common, so I'm kicking myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I always miss the boat on selling things. Like, I'm always early.
Oh, yeah.
Me too.
Ah, well.
I just don't sell shit.
Yeah, I've done pretty good selling stuff at, like, reasonable times. Like, I could have done better, but, I don't know. I feel like I've lucked out a couple of times with selling some stuff.
You know how much Rock Band guitars go for now, right? Like $200-$300.
Oh, really?
I sold a rare Pepsi-themed guitar. One of like 24 made for $100. Years before they were hard to find. I was just like, oh, someone else is going to enjoy this more than me. I don't use it. So I sold it, and then they shot up in price. That thing's probably worth like a grand now.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Speaking of music, next up was Just Dance 2025.
Oh, hell yeah.
That'll be available October 24th. Looks like it had some good music, some good artists, you know, top stuff that I don't listen to. But if you like to just dance, there's a new version available soon. Next, they discussed that LEGO Horizon Adventures will be available holiday this year everywhere but Xbox.
Cool. Yeah, I expected that one.
Still makes me very sad.
I'm still amazed it's on Switch. That's still cool. It's a start, I guess.
Well, you know what else they get? Stray.
Nice.
It's coming holiday this year. They finally get Stray. So that's cool.
I'll be honest, Little Kitty Big City's better.
Yeah.
Damn.
Wow.
I think
Little Kitty Big City, but
some high claims.
I think that's better than Stray.
Really? Okay, that tells me I really do need to play
Little Kitty Big City is super fun. Like, it really, really is.
Okay, I will install that tonight.
All right, please do.
Do it. Fucking damn it.
Maybe I'll do it
too. Can I easily beat it over the weekend?
Probably,
or is it going to take a little longer?
Okay, no, you can totally beat it this weekend.
All right.
You could probably 100% it in a day.
In like six hours. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, then shit, I'll download
it 8 hours
immediately after the podcast is over, and I'll just play until I 100% it then.
Yeah, there you go.
I'll just do it tonight. Fuck it.
Now, I'm not normally a cozy game person, but this one actually looks interesting to me. They showed a trailer for Tales of the Shire, a Lord of the Rings game.
Oh.
Cozy Shire immersion. You can decorate, befriend your neighbors, garden, forage, and cook, all have dinner parties and all of that in the name of the Shire, and it comes out holiday this year for consoles and PC. I'm excited about that one, actually. I think I would enjoy that.
Nice.
I don't particularly like hobbits, so that one's a pass one for me, sadly.
Fair.
You dated a few.
I like hobbits.
We're not talking about my dating history. But yes, I have dated a bunch of extremely short people that have seriously pissed me off. But
with it's hairy feet?
Irrelevant. No, never with hairy feet.
No, you're missing out. Anyway.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
Yeah, we mentioned this earlier. Ace Attorney Investigations Collection includes a sequel previously unreleased outside of Japan, is coming September 6th of this year consoles and PC.
This one is hitting Xbox.
This one is hitting Xbox, yes.
This one is apparently built on the RE engine, the Resident Evil engine, which is why that one's making it over. Like, this MT framework thing that I've been reading up on, it apparently the last game that used it on Xbox was the last Capcom Fighting Collection in 2022. Mm. And it hasn't been supported since. But, like, they can make it work. There's just no pipeline to get it onto Xbox, which, from what I hear, that's the issue.
Right.
So, like, they need to figure this the fuck out.
Deep breaths, Joe. Deep breaths.
Yeah.
I'm missing wrestling tonight. I'm allowed to be grumpy. It's in Allentown tonight. It's like an hour away. I could have been there. The Ashley works, so I couldn't drive.
All right, well, next up, we're almost done here. The Hundred Line Last Defense Academy, a tactical turn-based RPG from the creators of Danganronpa. Available early next year on Switch and PC.
Cool.
Nice.
It looked interesting.
That one we probably have a chance of getting on Xbox eventually, since the Danganronpa games came over. But it'll probably possibly be a bit.
Yeah. The next one is not coming to Xbox. Romancing Saga 2, Revenge of the Seven Remake.
Ooh.
Is coming out everywhere but Xbox October 24th this year.
Ooh.
And the final thing in the showcase, Metroid Prime 4 Beyond.
Ooh.
Yeah, you.
2025.
Nice.
See, that's how you, like, drop a bomb at the end of your show.
Yeah.
With a release date and everything. Well, not a firm release date, next year it's coming. If Gears of War trailer would have ended with a 2025, that would have been a mind-blowing.
Yep.
Which is what the rumor is, that it's apparently next year.
Hmm.
So,
cool.
That sounds like a great Nintendo Direct.
It was a really good Nintendo Direct, yeah.
Wasn't good for Xbox fans, but...
Hey, Jacob.
Hey.
Hey. You missed half the news.
I missed the news?
You missed the news. Most of yeah.
Oh, okay.
You missed the entire Nintendo Direct.
I mean, I already Jacob. Missed it once, so...
Jacob.
I guess I missed
Hello
it
Hello Kitty Island Adventure.
Yeah, but it's not coming to Xbox, right?
It's not coming to Xbox.
Yeah, see, who cares? Who cares? It doesn't even count in my book.
You have a Switch, like you're going to buy it.
Much like Marvel versus Capcom, unless I get a review copy, I don't care. Or if it's on sale. So, Joe...
It'll be on sale.
No.
Joe...
new rule, if you ask for a review copy on the show, you're at the bottom of the list for the game.
Dude, I'm at the bottom of the list for every game anyway, so shut up. Anyway,
all of them. I recommend some to Joe for you specifically. So you're not at the bottom of the list all the time. It's just most of the time.
Yeah, I was going to say, Aki, you're like, I definitely don't want to review this game. Joe, hand it off to Jacob.
I don't know. It's Hello Kitty. I do like Hello Kitty, actually.
I actually got to play it on my friend's iPhone, so it's not bad. I mean, I'd be looking forward to see how it turns out, but yeah, you should definitely get me a review code.
Hello Kitty has
a... Wait, isn't it free to play? Also, isn't it free to play?
I don't think so.
Oh, I thought it was on Apple, but maybe it's through Apple Arcade or some shit.
Maybe. Okay.
Whatevs.
Yeah, free games on mobile are rarely free on console.
Yeah.
That's true. True.
Free is never free.
Well, it costs $1.05.
It does. But Bree, what other news do you have?
Just found out today that to celebrate the launch of Crime Boss Rakkei City on Steam, the devs are releasing all the DLC for free on all platforms for a limited time. Go get it now.
Yay. Definitely does not reek of desperation.
I've heard it's improved quite a bit from launch. But
I have not returned to it yet.
Also so.
We'll
on
find
Steam,
out later
they,
in the show.
It doesn't seem to be free unless you buy the game.
Yeah.
Because you can't actually go into any of the individual DLCs and say, yes, I want this. So you actually have to buy the game and you just get all the DLC for free.
I think on other platforms, though, the game is also on sale right now. So if you don't have the game and you were thinking, hey, this was one of the worst rated games last year, I totally should pick this up. I hear it's really fun, even though it was rated terribly.
You just
have to be the right sort of person to enjoy that level of whatever its brand is given out. I don't know.
Bree, I think you would enjoy the game, honestly.
You know, someone else has told me that I actually trust their opinion of games I might like, and I've contemplated it.
Well, it doesn't appear to be on sale. It's just $20 on Xbox right now.
I'd heard there was a sale elsewhere. I could be wrong. Yeah, it might have ended. I think that might have been like a price reduction overall. That might be what it is.
That makes sense.
Because I think it was more expensive before, and now that's
it definitely used price. To be more expensive.
Yeah, I think it was like a $40 game at launch. But yeah, I think that's really all the news I have.
Hey, well, I got a couple of news bits. Game Pass. We got a handful of games joining the service. This week on Tuesday, we got Still Wakes the Deep.
Yay.
Nice. I'm going to be getting that too.
Wednesday, we got My Time at Sandrock and My Time at Sandrock Online. And then today, we got Keplerth on PC. I don't know what the hell that is, but we're getting it.
Yeah. Yeah, no clue what that is.
Next week on the 25th, we're getting EA Sports FC 24. A lot of people have been waiting for that, so that's finally joining the service.
Awesome.
And on the 26th, SteamWorld Dig 1 and 2.
Yeah.
Like nice. The SteamWorld games.
I feel like we had that on there before.
Possibly. I don't remember. But June 27th, Robin Hood Sherwood Builders.
Yeah, what is that?
I have no. I'm guessing a town builder. Sherwood.
That's what I figured as well. But I admittedly didn't even look into it.
It's an action RPG, action adventure RPG with base building elements where you take on the role of a hero.
Hmm.
I'm just like looking it up.
Ember says it's an RPG.
I don't want to be the hero.
So. Yeah.
Looks interesting.
Mostly positive on Steam.
Yeah. Nice.
We'll look into that one. It'll be on Game Pass, so we could try it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can't be all good news. There's got to be games leaving Game Pass, and there are 6 games leaving the service. June 30th, we are losing FIFA 22, Stranded Deep, Story of Seasons, Friends of Mineral Town, Sword and Fairy, Together Forever, and the one I'm pretty disappointed about, Fist, Forged in Shadow Torch.
Yeah, it hasn't been on that long.
I got to pick that up before it leaves the service.
Yeah.
Save $6 on it.
Yeah.
I need to see if it's something that I can beat before that date.
Horror Acolyte says, I started Fist. It's pretty fun so far. A little clunky. I've heard it's pretty solid, so I want to give it a go. And if I enjoy it, hopefully be able to get it before it's gone on the 30th.
Yeah.
And then July 5th, Cricket 22 is leaving. Sorry, Jacob.
Oh, the horror. The misery.
I'm so sad.
Epic Games is going to be publishing the next Lords of the Fallen game in 2026.
All right.
Yeah. Some good news. Shovel Knight Dig finally hitting Series X and S and PS5 later this year.
Okay. Right on.
Finally. And then the sad news portion of the show. We got a couple of shutdowns to talk about. Wizard with a Gun developer Galvanic Games is shutting down.
That one sucks.
Yeah.
Paradox Interactive canceled the game Life by You and shuttered the development studio Tectonic.
Ooh.
Also sucks.
Like, according to them, it was 2 weeks from early access launch and they got scrapped.
Oh, wow.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
And then Pieces Interactive, the makers of the newest Alone in the Dark game, have been closed by Embracer.
That's a shame.
What, like 3 months after the game launched?
Yeah, the game didn't do very good, unfortunately. It's still one I'd like to play, but I'm going to wait for a sale.
Yeah, I think a lot of people went that route.
Yeah.
Yeah, from everything I've heard from anyone who's ever played anything that has to do with that, that's kind of, all the games are kind of meh, so it doesn't shock me that everyone's like, we'll get that on sale.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the news I have. Andy, any video game news you want to talk about?
I mean, I'm sure you guys already covered the Steam Next Fest, you know.
You're excited about that. How many... Didn't you download like a ridiculous number of demos?
I went a little overboard on that one. I know I'm normally on Tuesday, but I downloaded somewhere over 70 different demos.
Jesus.
Damn, yo.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I saw one and I was like, that one looks cool. And then it kind of led me to the next one. And so I played probably I think you guys run into this too a lot. You know, the problem with having so many games is you don't know which one to play first, you know.
Alphabetical yes. order.
I
am a simple bitch.
That's actually a really good idea. You know, I've done a couple of those. But I've played a few of them so far. Size. Yeah, that's not bad either. I played a few good ones. I've played a few bad ones so far. I maybe got through 6 of them as of
yet. Any winners for you?
Yeah, I would say Wizard of Legend 2. I played that the other day. For any fans of Wizard of Legend, this one is just graphically much better. It seems like the same game, just updated, you know? Big Boy Boxing, which is kind of a nod to Mike Tyson's Punch-Out, was actually really fun, too. A little bit on the easier side for the demo, but I really enjoyed it. And what else did I like?
Timber's asking if you checked out What the Car.
Yes. Yeah, I did. Actually, What the Car is a big winner for me. Yeah.
Yes.
I can actually talk about this game. Because my kids play it on their iPads, they absolutely mm-hmm. love the shit out of that game. They
oh think it's so good.
If I remember correctly, it's by the devs of Sneaky Sasquatch, which is like my kids' like introduction into like action RPGs, kind of. And apparently, this is kind of more of the same, except with a car. So, yeah, they love it. So it's one to definitely look forward to.
I don't know Sneaky Sasquatch, but I know What the Golf.
I
don't think it has anything to do with Sneaky Sasquatch.
I thought it was the same devs. I don't, dude, they're into like 13 million games on their iPad. So like cut me some slack. Okay. Nope. So then, yeah, you are correct. What the Golf devs.
Yep.
Which they also like that game too. So.
Yeah, that one was definitely a winner. I loved What the Golf, and this one is pretty much that same game, just with a car. I mean, it's hilarious. Each level is pretty wacky, so it's very colorful, too.
What the Bat was really good, too, on VR.
Oh, I don't know that one.
Do you have VR?
I have a good buddy that has a VR, and so I'll play games every once in a while over at his house, but...
Go check that one out if you can. It is a blast. I played it on PlayStation VR 2. Check that out.
Yeah, no, I'll look that one up. Yeah, I have stuff. I've got so many. There's a couple losers in there, too. I don't need to probably mention them, but...
Name and shame. What's the worst one?
Shoot. I played... I wouldn't even say it's, like, that bad. It was just kind of, like... frustrating. I played one called the Sacred Acorn or something like that, and it advertises itself as a there's a really good one I just played too called Parcel Corpse. Sacred Acorn, which is like it advertises itself as a Souls-like, you know. I feel like every game is doing the Souls-like tag, you know.
Yeah.
And you're a squirrel and you have like magical powers. And I don't know, it just felt really clunky.
Sounds good, it would be fun. Yeah.
It was like, yeah, I mean, it wasn't bad. It just felt like, you know, maybe from the demo to the full release, like it'll be really good. But in my opinion, it just felt, you know, off, clunky, and kind of like crude, you know?
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm hoping the release will be good, but we'll see.
I mean, I'm sad because, you know, squirrel things are awesome. Like, I'm totally hyped about Squirrel with a Gun because it just looks absolutely ridiculous.
Oh my gosh, that one looks so good too. Yeah, and I was really looking forward to this one too. Squirrels are fun. You know, we all love squirrels, but
yeah, they're nutty.
They are nutty, but yeah, I mean, this, it was like a, it's like Souls-like, but you're, I don't know, it's hard to explain unless you play it yourself. It just, mm-hmm. it just felt off, you know, like they kind of had this good idea, and they just couldn't deliver 100%. But we'll see. We'll see. It comes out next month, I think.
Right on.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty much it for me.
Cool. Aki, any news?
Oh, fuck no.
One day. Jake, what about you? Time. Hey, I could say one day every time, and it'll still be true because one day, it's like the title of the show. Someone might listen. You might have news one day.
Fair. Yeah. One day, just not 2 days. Well.
It happened before.
It happened before twice, I think. I think it was only twice, yeah. But still.
Jacob, I was thinking of you today. I got my brand new shirt.
Oh, okay. Dang it. That's not exactly what I was hoping of when you were saying that you were thinking of me, but, I'll take Sonic the Log shirt.
Just Sonic the Log with a blue log on it. At the bottom, it says, gotta go log.
It's a weird shirt.
That's so awesome.
Gotta go log is what sold me on it. I thought that was just pure genius. The guy who makes his name is Bob Rose, makes crazy shirts. Like the one I showed you, right?
I'm trying to remember.
Cranks his hog.
Oh, that was good. But I'm also, if you buy that for me, I'm never wearing it. So don't buy it for me. I have, like, if you had bought that for me, like, 15 years ago, I would definitely have worn it. But I've got kids, so no.
Oh, I know.
I'm not
spending money on you. Jesus Christ, man.
I mean, occasionally you do, like at Christmas, like, you know, buy me a pack of menthols, you know.
For the men you meet on the corner.
So anyway,
do you have any news?
Yes.
Let's hear it.
Let's get down to business to discuss Disney Dreamlight Valley. They've announced a new Star Path coming June 26th, and Mulan and Mushu are joining the village.
Ooh,
I'm very excited.
Nice.
So anyway, there's that.
Heck yeah.
Hooray. I have to keep this in like a vague order. Life by You from Paradox Interactive got canceled.
Did you listen when I talked?
No, I didn't.
Jesus.
Like I assume I it got it. Covered in like that 30 minutes of news that I
No, it got covered while you were here.
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't hear you discuss it, so okay. Did you already discuss? All right, so that means that you already discussed Pieces Interactive closing.
Yep.
Okay. All righty.
You were here.
Was I also here for EA execs earning $60 million despite layoffs?
Nope, that's new.
Oh, okay. Cool. So, GameDeveloper.com reported that EA execs have so far earned $60 million in salaries and bonuses despite layoffs and a bunch of crap happening in their company. And funnily enough, at first when I posted this article to Facebook, they took down my posts multiple times. Yeah. And finally, I had to fight to get them restored, and they act, our bad. And I'm like,
wait, did they take down your posts or did they take down your SML posts?
They took down my SML posts.
Are you going to get us banned?
No, dude, I posted.
No, I will. If anyone gets us banned, it'll be me. But
I posted articles about the EA thing, and it took them down and said that these were inappropriate for Facebook. And I'm like, in what way? And so like I had to go fight them, and then like 15 minutes later, they're like, "Oh, our bad." I'm like, "Yeah, okay."
God.
All right, so we got that. I'm assuming you discussed Forza Horizon 5.
What, no. The new cars? No.
Yeah, the new cars. Ooh, okay. Cool. So we're getting a pack from Universal Studios, which includes iconic cars from Jurassic Park, Knight Rider, and Back to the Future, Back to the Future trilogy. So there are going
cars.
To be rude.
For $10.
All right.
$2 a car.
It's available now.
But one of them's the DeLorean, so who cares?
Three of them.
10% discount for Game Pass users.
So there's three of them, one for each Back to the Future movie. And Knight Rider, you can turn Kit into, you can activate Super Pursuit mode with some sort of body kit that is available. So
does it have the music?
It doesn't, which I'm just like, what the fuck's the point?
Pass.
Because the pinball table has the music. The only problem is it's like a 30-second loop. So you hear it repeat way too often. Like, if it was just the beat going for 20 minutes, it'd be fine. But it has a little ding at the end that wraps it up, and then it starts over, and it's really annoying.
And then, the only other news I have is some stuff for SML Movie Watch. So, first bit of news. Varese Sarabande, the classical and... I mean, they release classical, but also music from movies and TV shows. They are releasing an expanded CD soundtrack to the 2005 Doom movie.
Mm.
I don't know who asked for that, but we're getting one.
Cool.
And then also at Cineworld, Cineworld Europe, Sony was talking about some of their upcoming movies. Did you know that we're getting an Uncharted sequel? Well, of course we are, because it actually made some money. And, however, there's also no release date. However, apparently they've started casting. Okay. And also, they're trying to hype their Legend of Zelda movie that's eventually going to come out. And then the Until Dawn movie has also started casting some of its characters. I didn't recognize any of the names, though. So
you'd think they would just use the people that were in the game.
Yeah.
I mean, they were actors who acted in the game. The game is a movie, basically.
Yeah, it kind of is.
Remember saying some random news. Ark Survival Ascended is crossing over with the fucking Power Rangers. And that you can play with Dino Megazords from the Power Rangers.
That's rad.
Well, yeah, that's pretty fucking banging.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. And I just read about another Power Rangers crossover that's coming to the comics, and I forget. I have to find out. I have to look that up now, because I forget what the heck it was.
Anyway, Ed, any other news?
Nope, that's it.
All right, we ready to dive into reviews?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
All right. First game to talk about tonight is Rocket Knight Adventures Respark, developed by Limited Run Games, published by Konami, released June 11th on Switch, PS4, PS5, and PC for $29.99. Rocket Knight Adventures Resparked is an electrifying three-game classic revival collection where players relive the nostalgic side-scrolling experience by becoming Sparkster. The iconic Opossum Knight will battle an army of robots and pigs in order to save the princess. My wife was driving home from work the one night and couldn't remember the word opossum, and she called it an apricot. And I had to tell that story. Andy, tell us about Rocket Knight Adventures.
I mean, you pretty much covered the whole thing. No,
with the apricot thing? Yeah.
The apricot, yeah. I mean, you're an apricot.
Twist
with
ending that I spoiled.
Yeah, that was the actual secret ending that I was going to give away at the end. But. Shoot. Well, so first off, I know I asked you for this game. I'm a little biased, like, already when it comes to these games. I never had, like, a Genesis growing up, but I had a Super Nintendo, so I got to play one of the games that's on this list on the Super Nintendo. But also, my friend down the street had a Genesis, so I was able to go over there and play Rocket Knight a bunch, which was awesome. You know, I love this game already, so... with that being said, Rocket Knight Adventures Resparked is a collection of three of the classic titles in the series. Rocket Knight Adventures, which was released for the Sega Genesis, Sparkster Rocket Knight Adventures 2, also released on the Sega Genesis, and Sparkster, which came out on the Super Nintendo. The last one is a sequel to the original Rocket Knight game, but it is more of a spin-off title, taking place with an entirely different storyline than one was released on the Genesis. Very interesting. The collection, along with the three games, also comes with a few updates to the titles. Ooh. including an art museum to view original ads for the game, box and game guide art, and rough character design sketches and videos. Access to the game's library of in-game tracks is also available, which, side note here, the music and graphics for these games all received very high praise when they were released. And it also includes a boss rush mode for each of the three titles as well. There is a save game option, which allows the player to come back to the current point your character was at once saved, and a very extremely handy rewind feature, which I used extensively since these games are not anywhere near as easy as I remember. So, what is Rocket Knight? The Rocket Knight series follows the story of Sparkster, an opossum knight or apricot knight, who wears a blue rocket pack and armor, wielding a powerful sword that can emit energy projectiles. Each game usually involves a princess in possession of some kind of old family heirloom, who is then kidnapped for some master plan of whichever evil animal empire is currently in control, either the pigs, the wolves, or the reptiles. Changes depending on the game. Sparkster comes to the rescue every time to defend his home country of Zephyrus, battling enemies and rocketeering through levels. His arch-rival Axel Gear, very cool name too, a corrupt Black Knight and the main recurring antagonist of the series, usually has some involvement too. Apparently he's pretty good at kidnapping princesses. So, on to the gameplay of it. The Rocket Knight games are linear side-scrolling platformers with a theme that crosses between fantasy and steampunk. The player can move and jump, as well as swing Sparkster's sword, which emits an energy blast towards the direction he's facing. With the attack button held down, a blue power bar will fill and give Sparkster the ability to perform a rocket attack. This either sends him flying off in the direction or performing a spinning attack in place. The rocket attack can also help reach higher platforms by bouncing off walls and objects. And the gameplay is carried over into the SNES version of Sparkster, although in Rocket Knight Adventures 2 for the Genesis, the sword can no longer emit projectiles, and instead the rocket pack charges on its own. Classic fashion, a hub displays health and the rocket power meter, along with the lives available in the score bar. The score providing extra lives once a certain number is met. Eating apples and bananas will refill Sparkster's health bar. We all know possums love apples and bananas, so go feed them in your backyard. And collecting gems found throughout the levels will increase your score. Gems found in Rocket Knight Adventures 2 for the Genesis work a little differently, though, as they build up and act a lot like a slot machine that drops items that affect the either health or attack power once a certain total is met. The games are each composed of roughly 6 to 7 stages, each stage with multiple sections that end with a boss fight. Each fight is challenging and diverse from the last. The level designs are distinctive and include popular references as the player battles through the forests, deserts, airborne facilities, and even space. There may or may not be a reference to Star Wars in that first Rocket Knight game, but you'll have to play for yourself and find out. Aside from being a challenging platformer, Rocket Knight Adventures is also an auto-scrolling shooter, featuring robot mech battles, and even has alternate endings, something I did not know about before.
Ooh.
Rocket Knight, honestly, to me, has always seemed like it had the perfect elements from the greatest games. So I always think of like Earthworm Jim 2, how it was like a mashup of platforming and like arcade classics. You know, I felt like Rocket Knight was the best parts of, say, like Sonic and Mega Man. So overall, the game is great. It's challenging and it's fun, and it got a lot of very high awards when it came out. I feel like it's very well put together.
Well, it clocks in at $30. It's a 3-game package. What do you think on the pricing?
At $30, I feel like that might be just a little bit high, you know, but you are getting 3 games for it. So I would say it's worth it. Definitely.
I think 20 would have been a better price.
20 would have been a much better price, and if you wait for a sale for 20, I'm not going to blame you, you know. But I mean, you know, I'd pay full price for it. But
yeah, well, one group of people that can't wait for a sale are Xbox gamers, because Konami didn't release it on Xbox, and I don't know why.
That sucks.
I don't know weird. If it was a Konami decision or a limited run decision, but limited run has not been doing a lot of good with Xbox lately. Disappointing.
Yeah.
Doesn't sound like it, yeah.
Andy, always good having you on the show.
Always good to be here.
Love having you on. Do you have any final words before we let you go?
No. I hope you all have a wonderful night. You've
Thanks.
All been great.
Aww.
It was good to have so you sweet. Here.
Yeah. Totally like different vibe. I was
complaining the other day that like we hadn't been on a show together yet. So there you go.
That's what I was saying too. I was like, how come ladies on the Thursday night and I'm on the Tuesday night? We're like best friends.
Yeah.
Now you're on together.
Now we're on together. Yay. I'm stoked. This is yeah. this is a dream come true here.
Yeah. Now get the fuck out
you
of here.
You have weird dreams.
All right. Good to see you guys. Get the fuck out.
Have a good night.
You too. Later, guys.
Take it easy. Bye. Next game to talk about is The Elder Scrolls Online Gold Road, developed by ZeniMax Online Studios, published by Bethesda Softworks. Released June 18th as DLC for The Elder Scrolls Online for $39.99. The Elder Scrolls Online is available for $19.99 and is required for any and all DLC. The Forgotten Daedric Prince has returned, bringing chaos to the West Weald. Experience a new zone and defend the city of Skingrad, first encountered in Oblivion, now beset by a dangerous Daedric cult and the jungles of Valenwood. Customize your skills like never before with the new scribing system and create your own one-of-a-kind play style. This is going to be the first of like three parts of coverage that we're going to do for this because it's a friggin' yeah. MMO and it's huge. So Bree, this is kind of like your introduction to ESO, correct?
Yeah.
All right, let's hear it.
So I've been on the show for a while now, and I'm pretty sure you've all heard me say I'm not much of an MMO person. There are a few exceptions. I played a lot of Neverwinter for a whole year of my life that I'll never get back. And then Elder Scrolls Online came out, and I played that for a while because it was a superior game. And ESO has been around for 10 whole years now, and Gold Road is the newest addition to that family of stories told over time. It's been a couple of years now since I played ESO, and it felt great to be back. I jumped on stream last night and did some just low-level quests just to kind of get my feet wet. And I'm going to say that phrase a lot, apparently, because it's just what's on my mind. But I decided to both play some with my Khajiit, who's modeled after Teek, because you know I had to play a cat. And I'm also going to start a new character so I can play with some friends who are interested in giving the game another try. I also ran into someone last night who's like, oh, I didn't realize you played. Let's play together. So I'm hopefully going to hit them up. We're going to do some raids.
Very cool.
Yeah. I'm not sure what
I
want
to play. Now you make me want to try it again.
Right?
How much space do I need for this? Damn.
I'm not sure. It's 120 gigs.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. And
maybe I don't have room for that.
Yeah. It's big. I don't know how much of that is also all the expansions, but yeah, it's a big game. But yeah, I'm not sure what character I'm going to play yet. There's 7 classes to choose from and with lots of different skill lines to follow and 9 races that aren't Khajiit to choose from. Still want to play Khajiit, just maybe a different skill set. I might have a type. As you might expect, there are a bunch of versions of the game to get you up to date. We've got the upgrade pack just to add Gold Road if you have other content. There's a Gold Road collection with everything in it to get you caught up. I got the deluxe collection, so I finally have all the rest of the story I was missing. And for a short time, all the DLC are free to play, so you can check out Morrowind, Necrom, High Isle, Blackwood, Greymoor, Somerset, and elsewhere as well. So, and I know Joe kind of mentioned what Gold Road includes. I'm going to go over that again real quick. There's new story quests and content. There's Daedric incursions that are menacing the people, and heroes are needed to uncover the ancient power behind it, Daedric Prince. You know, I can't wait to get to that part of the story for sure. There's a new zone, West Weald, which, as was mentioned, it was first encountered in Oblivion. So if you liked Oblivion, you might find some familiar stuff in Gold Road. And then there's the new system scribing, which allows you to customize your playstyle with skill modifiers. The deluxe edition gives you some fun emotes like making cheese. It gives you a mount and a Legion Mastiff pet and more. And I just want to say, like, if you're new to the game or you're returning, don't feel intimidated that there's 10 years of content. Like, I had a blast the last 2 days jumping back in with a low-level character. And I think that you can just dive in or take it in small bites and you're going to find fun either way. If you've played any Elder Scrolls games at any point, there's something for you to enjoy in here, and it can just as easily be played solo as it can be enjoyed with friends. So, for now, I'm just dipping my toe back in, working my way toward the new content, and you'll hear back from me soon with tales of my adventures and a verdict on the game.
Sounds good. For now, it's on Game Pass. Should people check it out?
I would say definitely give it a check out, and if you want to be able to check out the other worlds that are available and, you know, content, like I said, there's some free DLC available for a limited time, so you'll be able to kind of experience the whole shebang.
Well, see what's really out there. It's Tekken and Golf, so we're going to fire that fucker up and see what happens.
Well, let me know if we can coordinate times, and we'll go smash some things together.
Sounds good. Do you have any final thoughts before you head out tonight?
I do. I have a personal favor for all of you. Just do me a favor and give all your pets some extra love tonight, please. And that's my final
word. That sounds worrying.
Oh, it's someone out there lost a good friend today. And hug your kitties and your puppies and pet your feathered friends and your scaled friends. Just give them a little extra love.
Their family.
Yep.
Absolutely are.
That's it for me.
Have a good one, Bree. Enjoy your
day. Will do. Bye-bye.
Next game to talk about, Sunrise GP, developed by Garage 5, published by Game Dust, released June 11th on Xbox One, Series X and S, and Windows Store for $14.99. Sunrise GP is an arcade game that combines racing with a road trip atmosphere. Take part in the Grand Prix, test yourself in the challenge mode, or race against your friends thanks to split screen. Here, the indie spirit meets a great passion for racing and cars. Jacob, what is Sunrise GP?
So Sunrise GP is definitely going for like the retro vibes with its, I guess I'd go with retro arcadey, although it's also a look I'd even just describe as indie. But anyway, so it's a racing game that leans heavily into the arcade stuff and even a little bit into the chaos area. As you go through all of these like crazy different racetracks that you can go on. And at first it started off normally and I was like, okay, this really doesn't like whatever. Cause I was in like a desert one and then it was like another desert ish kind of thing. And then it throws you into an Iceland, Nordic country thing. And then it just starts getting progressively weirder and much more unusual. I don't know if I'd actually say weirder, because I mean that it like implicates like aliens or something like that, but like there was one where it was just like a kind of this like underground bunker kind of level that you're racing through, which was odd. But anyway, so it definitely wants to give you all these different locales that you're going to be racing through. And you could choose through doing Grand Prix or doing single races. You can decide whether you want to do a time trial or go up against AI, or you can do versus mode on a couch multiplayer.
Drop it, bitch!
There is no online for it. And normally I'd bitch about this, but the gameplay is kind of weird for this one. So it operates as a normal racing game, where you could choose your car, and after you've earned money through different races, you can also like buy little parts to customize your car. And I don't really think that they do anything. Like, you can only really go faster by buying a much faster car. But my kids did enjoy that customization aspect. I don't think they've ever seen some of like the body kits that, you know, you would see in like some of the Fast and Furious movies. I don't think they've seen some of those cars, like some of the more outrageous ones. So they were pretty entertained by that. But yeah, so you're just going through, like you're doing your races, and it, at first it operates like very normally, like a standard arcade racer. And then the crashes start happening and everyone starts crashing. And good Lord, if you're starting up a race, like, yeah, hit the pedal to the metal, but also like lean lean back and just like give everyone a chance to like wreck first and then just scoot around it and then just start driving. And the thing is that like not only will everyone wreck constantly, you're going to wreck constantly. And thankfully, like there is a button to do like a quick reset, but half the time the AI doesn't properly reset itself, or they just keep crashing into each other. And so it's kind of easy to do. I mean, it's, I don't want to say it's kind of easy to do well, but it's kind of easy to do well. and the game does, for all it's worth, the game does not rubber band, frequently from what I can tell. However, they're like, there usually is like one guy who's kind of nearby, if anything, just to give you that like, oh my God, somebody's on my butt, but not quite like they, it's not like they just pop right out of nowhere. But even then, if you're willing to like take the time to like mess with them and crash them too, you can have some amazing wins where it's just like you were in second place for most of the race, and then all of a sudden you do a pit maneuver and make that guy just like screw up halfway through the last lap. They don't recover, like they will not recover in time. And in fact, the AI sometimes just never plane recovers for some of the cars. Like I had one guy I ended up lapping, and he would just like kept getting stuck like Austin Powers, like in between a column and the wall. So God bless that AI. But anyway, so if you can get past like the wonky controls, because it does get kind of frustrating when you crash, but at the same time, you can recover pretty quickly and then get back to where you were. The game is kind of forgiving on that. And so if you can get past that, honestly, there's a lot of fun to be had in this game. My kids, they thought it was like it's an excellent game to pair with Horizon Chase Turbo 2 or Horizon Chase 2. You know, both going for that retro arcade vibe. Although I felt Horizon was more of the serious business, and this one's just let loose and have fun kind of stuff. So yeah, this was pretty fun. The controls are wonky, the AI is a little weird, but it's still decently made. And I myself and my kids had a bunch of fun with this one.
Well, it clocks in at $15. What's your verdict?
It's definitely worth it. And as I said, like this is like this seems to be the summer of like indie retro racing, so pick this up. Like, I mean, you can wait for a sale if you want, but I'd still be fine with full price. Pick this up, pick up Horizon Chase 2, and you're going to have yourself a nice cruising summer.
You're the worst. Next game to talk about, Crime Boss, Rock A City, developed by InGame Studios, published by 505 Games, released June 18th on Steam for $19.99, which is now the price for the game on all platforms. Welcome to the 90s, Rock A City. Heist, loot, and shoot your way to the top of the criminal underworld. Build your criminal empire in the single-player roguelite campaign, or put together a crew with your friends in action-packed co-op multiplayer heists. Aki, tell us about your time with Crime Boss Rock A City.
Okay. In this, you play as the boss. And please don't ask me who any of these people are. I don't remember any of their names. They're all famous actors. The only one I remember is Trejo, because I absolutely adore him.
That's
like I legitimately don't remember any of the rest of their names, but I know almost all of them, and it's painful. So yeah, you play as the boss, and you are taking over this city, basically. That's your entire goal. You're like, hey, yeah, I killed one of the big bosses here, and I'm going to start taking over the entire city because I'm a crime boss. What the fuck else am I going to do? You don't really have a whole lot of extra reasoning there other than, I wanna. Which works for me, because I like when people are like, this is my story. I'm doing this because I wanna. No complicated shit. I just wanna. So you have to start off, you know, you have just a handful of guys that are working for you, to defend your place or to attack other blocks to take those over. You also have your own little inner circle of people that's very small. They don't do a lot until you get to the upgrading system, because then you're getting upgrades for them. But this is split between various days. You get a small amount of crew that is active crew that you can personally control or use or have in your missions with you to go out and, you know, steal jewels from, you know, this jewelry store, or take out everything in this entire shopping mall, or let's go rob a motherfucking bank, you know, whatever. And playing, having the boss in your crew increases how much everything's worth by 50%, or it gives you 50% more money. I'm not really sure exactly which it is. I don't really care. It gives you a lot. Use it. And you can have up to 4 total people in your group as you're playing. The other 3 are obviously controlled by AIs. They won't do anything until you specifically tell them to do, so you don't have to worry about them fucking absolutely everything on the planet up, which is fantastic. So, yeah, you can choose to play with as little as just your one player character as well, so you don't have to have any of the AIs. And this is for the single-player campaign, obviously. When you're doing multiplayer, it's not AIs, unless you're choosing to play with less than 4 people. You can use each one of these characters one time in that specific day, and then you have to wait for the following day to use them again, other than the boss who gets to go into 2 different missions. I found it's really most useful to send them one person into a mission and getting it done stealthily, but I'm a stealth player, so you can also go loud and proud with all sorts of heavy weaponry. Each character has their own special abilities and skills. Like, I have a couple people who have the thief skill, which just means that they're not for combat. They avoid combat at every chance, so if you have them in your group and you get into a shootout, they're going to stick back and shoot at people. They're not going to go running up in the front and start blowing people's heads off with shotguns or anything. Then you have people who take less damage, or people who attract more attention, things like that. So you have to figure out what crew you want. You can hire extra people into this group, and as you level up, you can unlock new ones that you can also hire. And that is separate from the actual gang hires, because you get those by, like, the tens. And those are set up to either defend your territory when another gang attacks your territory. You can put up to however much you want to help defend. You have to send at least 10. And the risk changes based on how many you send in, how many days you're in into the game, so on and so forth. So in order to have a lower risk, you have to really, as the game continues, you have to send more and more fucking people, which is horrific.
You know what else is horrific? The fact that my alerts still aren't working properly. Mr. Coolness came in with a resub. Let's hear some Purnell. Purnell, where are you at?
Fucking yeah!
Thank you, Purnell. How are you feeling today?
Fucking yeah!
Are you happy?
Fucking yeah!
You think Jacob sucks?
Fucking yeah!
Or is anyone surprised at that?
I'm not surprised, no. Motherfuckers!
Anyway, Crime Boss.
As stated, you can also send them to attack other areas. When you do this, you actually take control of people during these. So it's not just a, you know, I click and put people here and then it tells me later if they succeeded or not. No, you actually go in. When you're doing defenses, you play as, I believe it, the character's name is T-Dog or T-Bone, something like that. And he has a fucking, LMG that he uses. So, realistically, it doesn't matter how high the risk is for that. Just send your 10 people and just have him just walk around and obliterate fucking everything. And that, I actually really like those because of that. When you're doing attacks, though, you're put into control of a random fucking one of your goons. So you get randomized gear and shit, which really sucks. However, when that character dies, you go into just another random schmuck. So eventually when you die, you'll land up with somebody who has a shotgun, and you're going to do good. Just until that point, things might suck a little bit. So yeah, that's the main gameplay of this. As you get your money through all these areas, you can use that money to, again, hire more of your gang or hire more of your specific units to help you in missions, as well as you can buy new weapons for everybody and equip them. What weapons you have are kind of randomized, and which ones you can buy are randomized. You can sacrifice some money to reset what exactly you have available to buy. I don't bother with that, but then again, I do things stealthily, so I don't really usually have to worry about weapons, just period in general. As you play through the game, you unlock new weapons as well, including upgrades for them. And some of them have silencers, some of them give weapons full auto, or they give them new sights and such on them. I have not unlocked any of the silencers, which is very upsetting, because that's really what I want. That's all I want, just give me silenced weapons. Please, for the love of God. However, in missions, if you do kill people, it does raise suspicion, and you have 3 bars of suspicion. So if you kill 3 people, or if you destroy video cameras as well, that also puts it up 1. So the game is more about doing stealth and not killing body for the most part. There are also missions where they decide, hey, yeah, it's guns a-blazing time, motherfucker, have fun. I do not have fun in those. They're very stressful, and the game doesn't always tell you whether it's going to be a shooting mission like that, which means my usual thing of going 1 person into the mission is not good, we'll say, which is very upsetting, because that's kind of where I got stuck when I stopped playing the game. Is I went into a mission to go get a person and bring them in, and I was like, okay, that's going to be a stealth mission, and go in, find the guy, convince, get him to come with me, sneak out. Great! No, it's a full-on shootout with the cops at, like, almost the top tier of the wanted levels, and I'm like, I am fucked. I sent a stealth boy in here. This isn't good. I have been trying time and time and time again to just get my character to survive that mission. I don't think it's going to happen. But while all this is happening, Chuck Norris, the FBI agent that is looking into this town, is slowly gathering intel on you. And when it reaches the top, you go to jail. And this run is over. Try again next time. So that's why I was in this mission, was because if you do that, how much information he has suddenly drops. And I'm pretty close to being found out. So this is upsetting, to say the least. And it's, I've really liked the game. Going stealthy isn't particularly difficult in this game. There are restricted sections that if anyone sees you in, their, you know, visual bar starts to quickly increase until they're like, hey, you're not supposed to be here. And then they pull guns, and that's always a problem. So it's better if you just walk up behind them and smack them in the back of the head with your gun, tell them to get the fuck down. And then you can zip tie them. And once they're zip tied, you're good. They'll never bother you again. They'll do just whatever you say. If you don't zip tie them, they will eventually decide to do a runner. And then you can either run up to them and smack them in the back of the head again like the dumb fuck they are, or you can just shoot them like the dumb fuck they are. You know, whatever.
As a dumb fuck, the game's $20. What are your thoughts on that?
I am so fucking for this game. I have enjoyed my time with this immensely. It is really enjoyable. The only problem I have with it is it doesn't tell you when a mission's going to be a fucking shootout, or else I would avoid those. That's the only problem I have with the game. Otherwise, this is so much fucking fun. Please go buy this, and if you do, let me know. I'll play it with you. I really like this game.
There you go. So it's not worth all the disparagement that it has taken over the previous months.
Not at
it's
all.
Turned around into a pretty decent game.
Yeah, I've thoroughly enjoyed this. It is repetitive, obviously, because you have, like, I think 12 different places that you can rob, and it has to recycle those, but it gives different placements and sometimes slightly different layouts, not particularly a lot, but, like, they'll put different amounts of people in different places, guards in different places, so on and so forth. So it is still a new experience each time.
Yeah.
But it is repetitive. Elements. Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, let's move on. Next game, Willy's Wonderland, the game developed by Mito Games and Cubite Interactive, published by Cubite Interactive, released June 12th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5, PC for $4.99. Willy's Wonderland, the game is a 2.5D beat-em-up game based on the cult film of the same name, in which a group of animatronics come to life and slaughter people who dare visit Willy's Wonderland. Jacob, this one seems happy. Tell us about it.
So, yeah, so I have not seen the movie, which...
You should. It's fantastic.
Okay, well, hopefully it's a lot better than the game. So it seems like it's, you know, much similar to Five Nights at Freddy's, animatronic, you know, Chuck E. Cheese from hell come to life at night and they kill a bunch of people. You can play as one of two characters. One's a guy, one's a woman. And pretty much it's just beat 'em up. You have standard kicks. You also have like these little power-ups that can help you for temporarily help you out. And yeah, it's just you going around beating up all these like random things and like or these animatronic zombies or maybe they're zombies. I don't know. I haven't seen the movie. So I'm not entirely sure, but it's essentially you're beating up like,
you know, if Chris reviewed this, he would have watched the movie out of research. I think you should have watched the movie.
Honestly, I'm kind of surprised Jacob hasn't seen the movie, honest, because I think this movie would be right up his fucking alley.
It is sworn you said you were going to watch it at one point. I don't know.
No, I said that and I did.
Yeah, I like. Come on, man! Like,
you'll like it. I promise. It's a Nicolas Cage
old,
song.
I'm a parent and I'm broke. Like, so at this point, unless you're gonna pay for the movie, I ain't watching it. Anywho, so Aki, do they beat up zombies in this movie, or is it seriously
It's just the animatronics.
Okay, all right. So there's these random like ghouls that you run into, and you have to beat them up. And frankly, the controls work fine, but the hitboxes, it's just like they don't matter. And half the time your punches aren't going through, or you're like punching behind the enemy, even though you're standing right in front of them. And so it's not a particularly hard game to beat, but just getting there is going to be causing like a lot of frustration and continues. And if there's some fine tuning, like this could be all right. But currently I'd rate it along the lines of the very first, Karate Kid Cobra Kai video game that, Game Mill had released. It's just like, it's just not providing the hit detection that it needs for a 2.5 beat 'em up, and it's more frustrating than fun.
Well, it's $5. What are your thoughts on it being a $5 game?
Fuck it, why not?
So if you got $5, just throw it at it and be like, "Eh, fuck it, we'll see what happens."
I mean, honestly, if I had $5 and my choices were buy the Willy's Wonderland game or buy like some of the backwards compatible titles that are going or non-backwards compatible titles that are going away from the Xbox 360 store, I'd rather spend it on that. Like,
that is such a horrible comparison to give.
I'm being serious. I mean, it's just like, I mean, I figure this game's gonna be around for a while, but I mean, like, in terms of like licensed beat 'em ups, like, I'm not going to lie, the Space Jam, a new legacy game, was like, did a better job than this. Like,
all right, well, moving on.
It's a fuck it, why not, unless you have something better to buy. And then, in other words, go buy that.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, that's what fuck it, why not is for. So, easy achievements at least.
Yeah, easy. Cool. They can easily be done in like 2-3 hours tops.
That's not bad. All right, next up, Froggy Bouncing Adventures, developed by Nine Ratones, published by Radleika Games, released June 14th on Xbox One, Series X and S, Switch, PS4, PS5, PC for $4.99. Froggy Bouncing Adventures is a cute miniature puzzle platformer starring the eponymous Froggy the Frog. When Froggy's buddy, Buzzy, disappears through a mysterious portal, it's up to our amphibian hero to come to his friend's rescue. Jacob, how is Froggy Bouncing Adventures?
So Froggy Bouncing Adventures is a very simple platformer, deceptively simple. Let me put it to you that way. So it looks like the standard $5 Radleika, platforms that you get, like pixel platformers that you get. And it's really just, you're helping Froggy dodge all of these, different environmental hazards, which is really just spikes, whole lot of spikes. And so you can jump, double jump, eventually you can unlock dash, and the game does like hold your hand rather nicely, as it introduces everything to you, and then it's just kind of like, all right, well, here you go, hope you are very like precision minded with where you're gonna land, because like just one pixel over and boom, you're toast. And you get two chances on each level, and yeah, it's just get from point A to point B. There are sometimes hidden characters which will unlock a achievement for you, but yeah, it's just, you know,
heavy air quotes around hidden in, yeah, hidden characters.
It's really just, hey, hop over there instead of here.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's just do your best to not land on the spikes. It's a little hard to judge some of those jumps sometimes, but whatever, like the game's not the worst on making you start over, and all the levels are fairly short and zippy, so
I like this. Yeah. I thought this one was cute.
I thought it was like, yeah,
I like the graphic style on it. I thought it had a unique visual style to it compared to a lot of indie games that are just basic 2D pixel art. I thought they tried to do something different with this one visually, and it shows, and I gotta give them points for that. The gameplay is as basic as you're gonna get, really, but the fact that they tried a little harder with the visuals to make it stand out earned some points for me. It's only a $5 game. What do you think?
I'd say get it. I mean, it's fun. Like, there are worse things you could spend $5 on
that we just talked about.
Yeah. And it's like, yeah, it's okay. Like, it's a fine game, and cute for what it is. Like, I mean, I'd also give it a fuck it, why not? But at the,
you already
but
gave this it is a more, it.
Shut up. So it's a fuck it, why not? But this is a more positive fuck it, why not? Like,
but you already gave it a buy it.
Shut up.
It's a buy it. It's a buy it. Fuck it, why not is below buy it.
Oh my God. It's buy it. Yes, fine. Buy it.
Yeah, there's a hierarchy to the rating system. If you're going high, you don't shift it down to low.
I'm going to shift you down to low.
I will.
Gross.
Okay.
Agreed. Anyway, one final game to talk about tonight. We're getting dirty, folks.
SML After Dark.
Lust Theory Season 2, developed and published by Incitun Games, released last January on Steam for $24.99. Lust Theory 2 is an adult visual novel filled with lust, passion, sex, humor, mystery, and on top of that, the day's repeating until it doesn't. Aki, tell us about it.
Yeah. Yeah, y'all remember the last one, right? Well, this one, after your last escapade, you wake up. The car alarm isn't going. Instead, some asshole's mowing his lawn. Oh no. Oh no. Oh no no no. That's not good. Cause you ended off doing some really nasty shit. And all that confidence you had.
You did.
Oh, I definitely did. All that confidence you had, because, you know, nothing mattered, there were no consequences for your actions, is suddenly gone. Because, oh shit, what do I do? There's consequences for my actions. How dare? And now, so you have to work through this day, and you're like, oh god, I don't know how to repair any of these relationships that I may have just fucked up by fucking a lot of people and promising things that I shouldn't have promised. And then you find out at the end of the day, oh shit, it's restarting again. Except for it's restarting on this day instead of on the prior day. So you're like, oh, great, I have to deal with these problems that I've created for myself every fucking day now. Shit. And I have to try and further my relationship with these people and not fuck things up more. Woo! Great plan. I am a genius. You're not a genius. So if in this game you are still dealing with all the same girls, your older sister, younger sister, mom, childhood friend, new girl at school, and a teacher, and the sex shop worker. You are also introduced.
Amber, what's the name of the game? Is this U.S. Politics Sim?
Kind of. and except for in this one, you not only have them, but you also get introduced to a couple new people. There was a party you
Every
invited.
Every time you woohoo, it peaks the mic and your mic cuts out.
Yes! Good. So, yeah, and now there's a train. So if you hear that, I do apologize.
Choo-choo, motherfuckers.
Yeah, I'll bet there was a train in this game.
There is. So, yeah, you also get introduced to two new people in this game. There was a party that you invited a bunch of the girls to, like a dumb fuck that you now have to deal with. You get introduced to the person who's throwing that party, Amy. She has a very posh British accent, even though she's lived in the city her entire life, and therefore that doesn't make any fucking sense. She was apparently a childhood friend, and she decided to stop being childhood friends with you in childhood still. So, you know, that's great. She didn't bother to stick around. And you also get introduced to Ellie, the new girl at school. You get introduced to her mom, Angelina. Sadly, you don't have very much content with her. You get quite a bit more with Amy, but still not anywhere near as much as the main girls, obviously. And yeah, this is a much larger game than the first game. By, like, I don't know, 5 or 6 times. I'm already in hour 26 of playing this game, and I haven't quite finished it yet.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. And that's just playing this week, by the way. Literally since Monday.
Just hold on. So have you been playing more of season 2 than just this week?
No.
Oh, okay.
Now, I was indicating I had played all that time just this week.
Last Theory Season 2, 26 hours played. Yeah, that's holy shit.
Yeah, I think the first one only took me 12 hours to 100%. I think I'll have this one done by 30 hours in, I think.
Did you buy the Lust Theory 2 high-quality 4K wallpaper pack?
No.
You fucking lied. You bought it.
No.
Yeah, you did. Oh, yeah, probably.
No, it's a wallpaper pack. I'm not wasting my money on that.
There's Gunpla to buy.
Eggs, and I did buy two new Gunpla. Yeah.
By the way, folks, there's a reason I'm not linking this one in chat.
Yeah, this is straight up a porn game, guys. If you want it, you need to go look it up. Also,
before you continue, Aki, I just want to say I really enjoyed how at the beginning of your review you had this like slight southern drawl, and I was really hoping that you were gonna be like, I do declare, I really did enjoy these women, like, or something like that. I was just really hoping for that, but anyway.
I got a button for this.
Fuck off.
You use that a lot for me.
I do.
Anyway, continue.
Hey, go fuck yourself.
Yeah. Yes. Anyways, so not only do you
let's get back to the subject at hand. I have a button for this one.
What about twat?
Yes, you get to eat a lot of those and fuck a bunch of them too. So this, you go through obviously the same day over and over, and you have multiple different ways of interacting with each girl to get new scenes with them that you unlock on your phone and can relive if you want. There are also hidden scenes that you unlock by getting through certain parts of the game that you then have to turn around and find in order to play them. And you see quite a twist to it later on in the game. So that's fun. I can't wait to figure out how Season 3 is going to function. But yeah, the hidden stuff sometimes deals with the main cast. Sometimes it introduces some brand new characters. I haven't seen all of the hidden content yet. I have been hunting for it.
Did you look up guides for it?
Yes. That's how I hunt for it, because they'll be like, hey, you need to go find this thing. And I'm like, okay, I'll go find that thing. And then I find it, and I'm like, why isn't it working? And then I'm like, okay, well, apparently I haven't unlocked whatever, gotten where I need to go to unlock this yet.
I'm looking at the store page for Season 3. Yes, I'm getting ahead of the game on this. But one of the pictures is of a statue with an erection, and it might be one of the funniest pictures that I've ever seen.
Yeah, this game has a lot of comedy in it.
Is there any way that you can use that for the episode picture? Jesus.
Maybe for episode 3 when that comes out, and if we ever cover that one. But it wouldn't make sense.
Oh, we will
on this one.
Whatevs.
Yeah,
$25. Why is it so expensive?
Because this game is significantly larger than the other game. I think the first one was like 5 gigs or something. This one's a lot larger than that. That's why.
You could say it has a big install package.
Yes. Yeah, this dude has a 12-incher. Yeah, have fun with that. Yeah. they're also constantly updating all of the games. And I mean all of them. They're still regularly updating them. This one, I think, earlier this year, I believe, got a voice upgrade that was completely free for everybody. So now it's voice acted, and it's great. Lots of the voices have been nice. And yeah, it's a good game. I very much suggest this game. It's really fun, it's really kinky, and you're going to get off plenty, I promise.
Now, does this require the first game? Is this like DLC for the first game, or is it a separate standalone product?
It is a separate standalone product. However, you really want the first game because this literally is a direct sequel. Like,
yeah, I was just wondering how it was packaged.
Hold on. So is it like Mass Effect 2 where your decisions from the first one?
Oh my God, that'd be amazing.
Go into the second one?
Sadly not, because the end state for the game is the same for everybody. It's what order you get to the end state that can change for people. But this game picks up from that end state, so all the choices you will have made will be the same for everybody.
Alright, okay. Well, Lust Theory Season 2 is available for $24.99, your official verdict.
Totally for this, it's fucking awesome.
Cool. All right, we made it through another episode. We are done. We are finished. Big thanks to Bree for coming on, doing her thing. Thanks to Andy for coming on, doing his thing. Music this episode, because we talked about Nobu Uematsu at the beginning of the show, I'm going to play something from a little album called Project Majestic Mix. I don't even know if it's available to buy anywhere anymore. But it's like a 25-year-old remix album of Uematsu tracks.
Oh, I remember that one.
From MAGFest 1.
I ended up getting like the special edition version of it. It came in like a PS2 case, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're like, your mind was blown like at MAGFest 8 when I told you like, hey, I just randomly picked this up and it was like a stupidly low price. Like,
yeah. But yeah, we're gonna play something off that. So some Nobu Uematsu music from someone. We'll figure it out. I'll pick something.
Woohoo!
But anyone have any final words to end the show?
No.
I'm not going to lie. Kind of like as a sneak preview for reviews, I'm reviewing Times and Galaxy next week. And yeah, I'm excited about this one. So you guys should be too.
Boring ending. Give me something better.
You're a...